Time marches on. I was thinking about that the other day, a few days ago, when the nation observed the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. It was hard for me to believe that it had been 50 years, because I remember that day very clearly. I remember watching Dr. King address the nation from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial on an old Philco black and white television. I don't even think they had invented color televisions back then. And I was watching the speech with my dear Bess. Bess, who helped raise the Howell children. Bess, who dropped out of high school to go to work for my grandmother when she was a teenager, and so she never completed her education. My dear Bess, who couldn't walk down Main Street of my hometown unless she was going to work for the white folks. My dear Bess, who invited me to come to her church, and I would have been received with open arms. But we had a man at our church who carried a gun with him, so people of color could not get in. My dear Bess, who didn't have indoor plumbing, we had two bathrooms in our house. I'd been to see Bess. I'd seen the pathway behind her little house that went to the outhouse. I saw the three pictures that she had on the wall. Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, and most prominently, Jesus. And I can remember watching that electric speech, listening to those lofty words, and wondering what Bess was thinking. It was a speech that galvanized the nation. Historians tell us that that marked a critical turning point in the civil rights movement. But the interesting thing is, it was a speech that Dr. King almost did not give. Now, he had given that speech previously, but for some reason his advisors didn't like it. And they told him not to give that speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. They wrote another speech for him. In fact, one of the advisors called the I Have a Dream, he called it trite. So the speech that he started to give was titled Normalcy, Never Again. But as he started the speech, it was pretty evident that the crowd was not with him. Alan, we know when people are not with us, don't we? Let me tell you, brother, you can look out a congregation, you know when they're with you and when they're not. Now, this is a big difference between mainstream white churches like ours and African-American churches. If the preacher gets in trouble at an African-American church, they're going to lift him up. They're going to pull him out. You know it's true. You just leave me hanging up here. I guarantee you, Greensboro's the same way, man. The congregation will suffer in silence. Standing a few feet from Martin Luther King was a gospel singer by the name of Mahalia Jackson. And she knew the speech was not going well, and so she called out, "Tell them about the dream, Martin. Tell them about the dream." And he stopped. He paused. And then he said, "But I still have a dream." And the rest of that speech, the part that has been ingrained into our psyche, the part that we hear replayed so often when he reached soaring heights of eloquence, speaking almost in the tongues of angels, that speech was not planned. But he told them about the dream. And that's what hope is. Hope is when we tell them about the dream. Hope is understanding that the present situation is not the final answer, that there's something better beyond that, and it is the dream. Hope is seeing the world as God sees it. And hope is believing that God is good and all the time. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, you told us the same thing last Sunday. That was your definition of faith. You're exactly right. That's what I told you. And you're going to hear it again next Sunday. Because faith, hope, and love are inseparable. What Dr. King did on that hot August day 50 years ago is exactly what Jesus did when he took the scripture in his hometown of Nazareth and he read from the prophet. The scripture that Julia read for us is a story of Jesus telling them about the dream. Because Jesus had a dream. It was the dream that he called the kingdom of God. It was a dream to put God's plan into action, to make it reality on the earth. The kingdom of God is where people are led by love rather than by laws. Where forgiveness is the norm, not retaliation. Where the poor receive good news, the suffering are lifted up, and the oppressed are set free. He had a dream. It was a dream where nation will not rise up against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's the dream of the kingdom of God. And what happened after he shared the dream? When I first sent the scripture to Julia earlier in the week, I had her stopping after Jesus had read the scripture and let that be it. But I contacted her again and said, I want you to read the whole story. Because I want people to hear what happened to Jesus after he articulated the dream. You heard it. They didn't like it. They tried to kill him. There are many people that didn't like Martin Luther King's dream. And we know what happened 5 years later. The work of hope is hard work. It's not easy. When we go out and tell them about the dream, there are going to be a lot of people who don't like it. Because there are a lot of people who don't believe that the dream is for everybody. There are a lot of people like that usher in my home church who feel that only certain people should enjoy the benefits of the dream. And they don't want to hear about justice and righteousness and equality. They don't want to set the oppressed free and to lift the poor out of their suffering. And so a few days after Martin Luther King delivered that epic speech, it was a Sunday morning. In fact, it was 50 years ago this day, September the 15th, 1963. I know that my mama dressed me up and sent me to Sunday school because that's what we did every Sunday. But a few miles away from where I was attending Sunday school, there were four little girls. Four little girls who had gotten up and put on their finest Sunday dresses. And they went to Sunday school where their teacher, Miss Ella DeMand, told them about the dream. The Sunday school lesson that day was the love that forgives. And for an African-American congregation in Birmingham, that was a message that they could not repeat enough. And at 10:22 a.m., there was a bomb that ripped through the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, taking the lives of those four little girls. Addie Mae Collins, Denise McNair, Carol Robertson, and Cynthia Wesley. They never live long enough to experience the dream. Because the purveyors of hatred and violence and darkness planted a bomb, members of the Klan who wanted to silence the dream. The dream is not easy. The dream that we have to share with the people of this town will be hard work, because there are a lot of people who do not share in the dream. I told you, I guess it was several months ago, there's a little saying that comes from St. Augustine. He said, by himself, God won't. By ourselves, we can't. But together with God, we can. And that's what I believe is happening within this congregation. We know we can't do it by ourselves, and we know that God will not do it by himself. But if we are truly the people of God, we can join hands with him and we can tell him about the dream in this community and give the 45% of the children who live in this community in poverty, we can give them hope and we can give them food and we can give them health care. And we can work the hard work of hope to make a better future. That's what the dream is all about. One of the most dynamic Christian leaders in North Carolina is Bishop Michael Curry, who is the Episcopal Bishop of the Diocese of North Carolina. He tells this beautiful story about going on a mission trip. They went to Africa, Botswana, and they went to a daycare center that's run by a priest in a very impoverished area of a city. And all the little children there are age 3 through 5. And so Bishop Curry got there, and all the little kids are over here, and he invited the bishop to come over and sing a few songs with the children. So he one of the songs he picked out was that, Praise You the Lord, Hallelujah. You know that? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. And you know, good, that's real good. Well, if you remember, when we did that when we were kids, when you said, praise ye the Lord, you would sit down. When you said, hallelujah, you'd stand up. Remember that? And they'd go up and down and up and down. But Bishop Curry noticed that there was one little girl who was not standing. And then he saw a pair of crutches beside the little girl. And when the kids had been dismissed, he found out her story. And I want to share this with you as Bishop Curry tells it. He said, the father dismissed the children to go play. Off they went, running as children do on a playground on the other side of the courtyard, except for this one little girl. She got up from her chair, took her crutches, and started to walk painfully, almost like the old woman in the gospel story. And as she walked, the father told me her story. It seems the director of the daycare, who was a college student, would go out into the neighborhood and would find the children with the greatest needs. And he found this little girl who was actually bedridden, who couldn't even walk with crutches. Her grandparents were caring for her. And the grandparents allowed the church and the daycare center to intervene. And so they brought in medical personnel, physical therapists, and they worked with this child, with this little girl, and they taught her how to walk with crutches. And he said, while Father was telling the story, she was on her way with her crutches trying to catch up with all the other children. But she fell down. And he said, you know how you want to rush over and pick her up? But I sensed I was not supposed to do that. And so I watched as very slowly, painfully, haltingly, but determinedly, she stood up on her crutches again and continued to walk toward the other children. And as she approached the children, the father said something to me that I have never forgotten. He said, we believe that God has something better in store for every child. It's our job to help the children find out what that is and then rise up and live. First Baptist family, I believe with all of my heart that this is what God is calling us to do as a congregation. To tell them about the dream. To begin with the words that Colby shared with us. Loud enough so everybody heard it, Colby. Jesus is Lord. And in the kingdom of God, there are no second-class citizens. In the kingdom of God, there are no hungry children. In the kingdom of God, everyone has the opportunity for employment. And that's what hope is. Hope is believing that God has something better in store. And God is calling us to help our community find out what it is and then to rise up and to live. Tell them about the dream. Tell them about the dream. I pray that we will go out in this community and that we will become an instrument of God's peace. And where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where people are hurt, injured, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. And where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Amen.